Praise God. Well, this evening we're looking again tonight into the life of Christ. Last week we were talking, one of the things we spoke about though with the disciples is when Jesus asked the disciples about who they said he was, is the fact of we said that he didn't just go around telling everybody, but we found out that disciples came to the revelation that God revealed it to them. And so we need to understand the importance of that. If these men who were not born again, the Spirit of God could reveal to them, how about us?
Amen.
You know, this is one times that, you know, there's one thing as I learned about the ministry of Jesus. He didn't run around and just tell everybody everything. He made sure that people wanted to find out stuff, that they did. One of the things that we do wrong is lots of times we just take people and we just keep trying to give them for what they're not even looking for. What they're not asking for, or neither do they want. And we're always trying to do that. Jesus didn't do that. Jesus, like with the crowds we talked about before, they came to, a multitude was there. Now a multitude, I would consider that an astronomically big amount of people would be a multitude. We wouldn't think, you know, it'd be 400 or 500 people. You wouldn't call that a multitude. But they turned around, Jesus gave the parable of the sower. And they all just got up and left. Now if you just saw the parable of the sower and you didn't see its meaning, you probably wouldn't have a clue what it was really talking about. All you know is naturally what's being said about planting seeds. You'd say, well, we all probably know that pretty much. But we knew it had a meaning, but they didn't, the multitude didn't, had no interest in it. But it says, his disciples and the 12 came, and they asked him, what did that mean? And Jesus said, that's for you to know, but for those on the outside. See, there's a, even today, there's a lot of Christians on the outside. They're not hungering and thirsting for righteousness. They're not after things. And they're like Jesus. They're on the outside. They're hearing, but they don't understand, and they don't know. They know that's the way it is. He said, but it's for you to know this, these mysteries of the kingdom. It's for you to know. The disciples, the followers. See, he's like, we come here. It's one thing. I just want to tell you this. Any minister who actually has an anointing, he can always tell when people are pulling when he's teaching. And I just want to tell you this. I can tell this, and I've learned it over time. I'm not the only one. I can tell when there's people resisting. I can tell it. When you're teaching. When I'm teaching or ministering, I can always tell. You know, you can always tell. There's certain times. I can tell there's certain people that are really, sometimes, like, people are generally pulling. They're going along with it. But you can tell there's certain people. Sometimes in a crowd, you might not know who, but you know an area. Somebody's pulling hard over here. Somebody's really after it. And you can notice that. And we need to understand that. You know, when Jesus was walking through the crowd, when the woman with the issue of blood's there, all these people are there with him. Nobody's getting healed. No one's getting healed. But there's one woman come along, she's pulling. And what? The anointing's drawn right to her. I found this out. Many times God will turn around and make a sermon for the people that are pulling and not for the ones who are not. This is why you got to learn to pull. You know, you come, you know, when people come, you hook up with what's going on. It's not just because God reveals the thing. He doesn't cast pearl to the swine. He doesn't just waste his time with people. Because he told the disciples, you go, I'm sending you out. You go out here and you go preach. They don't accept it. Take your dust off your feet and go off. Now we spend our whole life chasing after somebody that don't even want it. I found out the greatest way is lots of times to reach people, quit chasing them. Let them go to themselves. And when enough mess is up and the big rocks fall on their head, maybe they'll want something. But don't come back till the big rocks fell on their head and they ask for it. If they ain't asking, ain't enough rocks fell yet. They haven't gotten enough trouble. And you know, that's one thing we don't understand. You know, sometimes trouble's good for an individual. People that are making a lot of wrong decisions and they keep doing it, bailing them out of the problem is not going to solve anything. That solves nothing. It's not going to. I will guarantee you what they do is people do all the time. They just go on that way. Well, now, you know, I got taken care of. I'm going back to what I was doing. And You know, it's like they found out, you know, they did this, you know, people for crimes and stuff like that, they want to get bail, and they, you know, this cashless bail, you can just get out. Don't those people immediately quit crime because they get out? Oh, they don't go back again at all. See, they say they're being good to them. No, that is devilish and evil. And I'm going to tell you what, whether people like it, there's a lot of people in the church side with the devil when it comes to this stuff.
Amen.
They call doing love and doing good, and they ain't doing no good. You know, you got to let people come to the place. You know, let people ask for help instead of always just go run and help. Let them ask for it. Best thing you can ever do. You know, I learned with my children, I might see, you know, my kids even today that they might need help with something. But there's one thing about it. They have to come, ask and you shall receive. Seek and you'll find. That's what Jesus said. Jesus said, if I see you're in trouble, I'm just going to run over and take care of it. Don't have like that, does it?
No.
No. But see, when people come and ask, that's what people need to do. It's part of how the God system works. And see, you teach people that. Teach people if they need help. No, nobody got saved or didn't call on the name of the Lord. I don't care how. Just think with Jesus. Jesus died for the sin of all men. But you know what? Are all men saved? No. He didn't go save all men because every man from the standpoint, all their sins are taken care of and everything. But if they get born again or don't get born again, it's up to them. And see, we need to understand that about people. It's the fact we preach the gospel. You and I are called to carry a message. That's what we do. We carry the message. We don't try to be God to people. We carry the message of God. Say, so you know who you need to get a hold of? Not me. You need to get a hold of Jesus.
Amen.
No, just get a hold of me. I'll take care of it. This way you'll praise me and worship me and I'll become a big deal. Yep. No. I don't want to be a big deal. Hallelujah. I tried that. Didn't work. Hallelujah. So the disciples got a revelation. Well, they walked with Jesus and God revealed something to them. They were looking for something. They were after something. And you'll find this. It's one of the things, if you want to have spiritual growth and you want the Messiah revealed to you, you're going to have to chase after. That's what you do. The closer you walk and you chase after the things of God, the more is going to be revealed to you. The Holy Spirit takes what belongs to Jesus and reveals it. That's His job. And so you want with the Holy Spirit to be revealing things to you. That's what you want. And so, number one, you're going to have to go after Jesus. You're going to have to head in that direction. And so that's what you people need to know. People need to know to need to change life. You know, it's something like, you know, we deal with Jesus forgiving man's sin. Now, we want to, yes, He did. But one of the things it is, that man needs to be changed, he needs to be born again. The idea of forgiveness, sure, He could forgive you of your sin. But if you don't get a changed life, it ain't going to do you any good.
Amen.
It does you no good. See, many people, too many people going around and they heard the message, you know, Jesus loves you. Jesus forgave your sin. And they, oh yeah, Jesus forgave. But they never get a changed life. So their life goes on the same constantly. It goes constantly on in the same path in the same way. And it's like, that's what we don't want with people. We need to tell people, you need a changed life. Mm-hmm. If anything was revealed to me when I got saved, if I kept my same life, I was going under and dragging my family with me. I know I had to have a changed life. I needed to be made different. I needed to be made differently. And so, praise God, that's what the new birth did. And that's what people need. You know, is people like, you know, New Year's making New Year's resolutions? You know, it's a good time to tell them. How would you like to have a changed life that you could keep a resolution?
Amen. Amen.
You know, if you don't get your life changed, you ain't going to keep them.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to. It's a changed life. That's what you want, the changed life. And Jesus Christ can do that. Jesus the Messiah. So, we want to introduce people. Well, the disciples found out that Jesus was the Messiah. That's who He is. He was the Son of the living God. I want to read to you here just two verses. With Paul had from 1 Corinthians, the 3rd chapter, I'll read it to you. Because he identifies who Jesus is. When we need to understand this from a Christian standpoint. In the 3rd chapter, in verse 10, says, according to the grace of God which is given to me, a wise master builder, I have laid the... the foundation, and another builds on it, but let each one take heed how he builds on it. He said, for no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now we say Jesus Christ. I want you to get that in your mind. He's saying what Paul would have been saying, Jesus the Messiah. That's what he'd have been saying. Now see, they translated over and made it into Jesus Christ. It was translated in for us. But he's saying the Messiah. See, Jesus was the Messiah. So he was. And the Messiah, this one that came, this is the one that God sent. This Messiah was the one mentioned in the book of Genesis that God told, was speaking to the serpent, dealing with Adam and Eve, and he told the serpent, you know, that there's one that's going to come. That you're going to bruise his heel and he's going to crush your head. In other words, not like, you know, we don't think of something natural. In other words, his authority, the head, he's going to crush it. In other words, when Satan got Adam and Eve to sin, he stepped in as Lord of this earth. Mm-hmm. He was given the authority. Adam had the authority in this earth. God gave Adam the authority in this earth to rule over it. And that authority was given over when Adam, who was supposed to be the one in authority to tell the snake to shut up and get lost, he didn't. He let the snake have the place. And so he got the authority, and Jesus said that God told him that there's one coming, he's going to crush your authority. He said, you're going to bruise his heel. In other words, the death of Jesus Christ was no more than a bruise of his heel. He came back and was raised from the dead, hallelujah, with all the authority. The authority of Satan was crushed, and now he holds the authority. So anyone who receives him, there's no other way for a person to gain authority over Satan in this earth than to receive Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Satan will reign over you and dominate you unless you get born again. You can't. There's no other way that you can gain the authority. He can do stuff at will. You know, you take the sinners. I mean, what he can do over the sinner in the earth. He can, with blinding and doing stuff. They can't turn around and cast him out. See, that authority, understand how important it is. That's why in the first things Jesus told the disciples, when they go preach the gospel, he said, in my name, you'll cast out devils. In other words, that man has got the authority back in Christ Jesus. We have the authority back. In other words, because of the Messiah and his work, we have that authority again. Now, in Ephesians, the second chapter, the Apostle Paul then mentions again the Messiah and says about him, this Jesus, who is the Messiah. In Ephesians, the second chapter, in verse 19, it says, now therefore you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. So you want to know who you are? That is who you are. You're not a foreigner. You know, you're not trying to talk to God. You're not trying to get a hold of... See, most of Christianity, and even a lot of preaching, makes us foreigners. We're trying to hook up to God. We're trying, get your mind straightened out. Hallelujah. You're not trying to get anywhere. Hallelujah. And so these are good scriptures. You're not a stranger. You're not a follower. You're a fellow citizen. You're a citizen of God's kingdom, the kingdom of heaven. You're a citizen of that kingdom. Now think about it. Just here in the United States, you're a citizen in a country. You have the rights and privileges of that country. But you also have to follow the laws of that country.
Mm-hmm.
Understand that about the kingdom of God. See, all as Americans know is we got free speech. And Americans don't follow the laws at all. So anyhow, you know, they won't follow the laws. I want free speech. I want to say everything I want to say and do what I do, which is illegal. But we're in the kingdom. Understand about this God's kingdom. It has laws and rules how it operates. And you have to follow them if you want it to operate. And they're not laws and rules to hurt you. They're laws and rules that will bless you if you learn how they work. How the laws and rules work. What do I do? Well, you want to find that out. Well, so this is what the Word of God is about. The Word of God is to find out how the kingdom operates.
Amen.
Who I am in this guy. I'm a citizen. You got to become sold the fact that you're a citizen in this kingdom. That's who you are. You're a member here. You're not a stranger in this kingdom. You're not a migrant who came in even with a visa, you know? Most Christians, all they got's a visa to the kingdom of God. That's all they got. They don't know if they're in or out or going to stay in or out or whether God's going to put them out or anyhow he's going to send ICE to put them in jail and chuck them across the border again. They don't know. So you got to come to settle. You were born into the kingdom. Therefore, you are a born citizen. Just like here in the United States, being born here, I was born to my parents. I became a citizen immediately because I was born. There is no other way to become a citizen in God's kingdom than to be born into it. You can't get into it any other way. A person who is not born again cannot be in the kingdom because they have not birthed into the kingdom. It requires birth. This is what we do. Well, he says, what? Where he says, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. Now, I want you to understand this. He's not talking about the apostles and prophets of the Old Testament. He's talking about the New Testament. It's the New Testament apostles and prophets are the ones that laid out the format of who Jesus is, who he was. That's what they preached. And so, the New Testament apostles and prophets, he says, Jesus Christ himself, or Jesus the Messiah himself, being the chief cornerstone, and whom the whole building being joined together grows into a holy temple in God, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. So we're being built together. This is what's happening. See, as we are growing and learning, we're being more and more built together. That's what's happening to you. See, you see yourself as that, you know? When I first started off in the kingdom and that stuff, I always, you know, I would get myself over into condemnation thinking, oh man, I'm just, you know, you'd find out how, you know, you go along and think you're doing good and then you learn some new stuff and think, my God, I haven't known much at all. And then you sort of feel bad about yourself. But you know it is. It's all part of growing up. You're being built together.
Amen.
You're being built together. Jesus Christ, the cornerstone. And the whole point of that stuff, I mean, you go all around the world, it is an amazing thing around the world. People build stuff and they build. You go back from ancient times, they'd have a cornerstone. And that cornerstone was the main thing that was set. All that building was built off of that cornerstone, everything from that. If that cornerstone wasn't right, the rest of the building would. That had the cornerstone they made sure was set in a perfect alignment. That had to be set in perfect alignment. And it's amazing. You can go out a place that was built on a cornerstone, could be 1,000 years old, and you go back and that wall is still standing there. You go over into cathedrals in Europe and you look at those things and the accuracy of building. It's phenomenal. Everything built off that cornerstone and those walls stand straight. Today we have a lot of shoddy building, you know. Going on. But see, this was built at a time they were putting things. It's one of the things the Romans were really good. The Romans were great builders. You know, and in this time and things, and Paul's coming along, most all in Ephesus, if you went over into those areas, I mean, Roman influence there on a lot of things and buildings and stuff and things that they put up. They knew what he was talking about. And so building in those things, you're being built together. So it's a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. So, you know, you and I are born again. We have the Spirit of God in us. But there is an anointing. One of the things about it, I learned this from Kenneth Hagin, and he talked about it. He always said the greatest anointing in the church world is not an individual person's anointing. It's the anointing of the body of Christ is the greatest anointing. You see, an individual has a part of an anointing. They don't have it all. You know, in the gifts of the Spirit, they operate severally as the Spirit wills. So, if you have a more number of people you have operating in the Spirit, the more number of people even gifts of the Spirit can manifest through. And so, it becomes a greater thing. This is why I watched it over the years. I would go to, like, you know, different types of meetings and stuff, and you get people. This is one thing is like where people have to go out and go to meetings and that stuff. It isn't like just going to church. This is one of the things today is you'll find this out where people go to a place that they want to take the time to go there. You'll always find their greater anointings when the places the people really, you know, we're just doing our duty and blah blah blah. where you go where people, and I'd go to these meetings out these places, and people come all from all over the place and come there, there'd be great anointings in those meetings. And people were always thought, well, it's just a guy up front, he's really something. No, it isn't. It's the whole body. It's the body built together makes this thing work. It increases the anointing. See, this one, you want the anointing to increase on me? Well, you have a part to do in that. When I was talking about pulling, will make a difference on the anointing on me.
Amen.
Of how far God won't operate through me any further than you folks will let him. He does it. That's just the way it is. Jesus went to Nazareth. Could he do it? Or he could do no mighty work because they're unbelief. Well, I thought he was so anointed. He was anointed, it says, without measure. Don't matter how anointed he was, that measure working for the people will only work as far as they pull.
Mm-hmm.
Some congregations, they don't like the minister. Well, he don't have much of anointing. Why? He's sitting under an unanointed congregation. That's why.
Yeah,
it is. They're sitting. See, people think, and they turn around and it's always the guy at the top. They don't realize they're the ones that are dragging their feet. Why God can't move? See, people got to get thinking right about this stuff. You know, and there's one thing about it: God can use a minister beyond his own wisdom and understanding if people draw enough. God will show up for people. If they will go after it.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the Lord told me when I ask about, you know, ministers sometimes that really get out into left field, got into crazy stuff and wrong things and stuff. And I ask the Lord, man, they go to their meetings and the God moves. He said, it's because when the people come, they expect. He said, I show up because of the people. He said, I shouldn't do it for him.
Mm-hmm.
I'll do it for them. You see, you learn to need to know things about the Spirit or you become gullible like most people are. And you chase after the man when you could have that anointing working for you any old time. But no, you're chasing after man to have one. See, you got to think about it. God will show up because you believe.
Right.
Thank God for people's anointings and stuff, but God will show up because you believe. Well, what happened if you get a number of people pulling?
Amen.
See, one will put 1,000 in flight, two will put 10,000. Man, what would a crowd do?
Yeah.
I mean, that's good multiplication of power. See, God's a multiplier. That's what I like about
that's right.
it. You know? When I give money, he multiplies about my money. I'm thanking he don't add to it. He multiplies.
Yes.
See, a farmer wouldn't get much back if he was only adding, if he planted seed.
That's right.
You know, God multiplies that seed back.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory to God. So we want to walk in that place. But Jesus Christ, he is the chief cornerstone. Now, in the same in Ephesians, the third chapter, Paul wrote there again. He said, for this reason, verse 1, he said, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, or the Messiah Jesus for the Gentiles. In other words, his ministry, the Messiah sent him to the Gentiles. He's the Messiah. He said, if indeed you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which was given to me for you. In other words, God had given him a gift for them. God has gifted you. Number one, you are not anointed for you. See, most Christians, they're trying to, everything they think from the word or they're trying to get, it's about blessing my life. That's not what your anointing is for. The grace of God's for. If I'm going to tell you this, I found this out. If I use the grace given to me to minister like God said, God will bless me. It is never the servant's job to take care of himself.
That's right.
It's the master's job to take care of the servant. The servant's job is to do the will of the master, what the master wants. Learn that. The church has turned that upside down, and Jesus is, we're the masters, and he's the servant. What he can keep doing for us. No, this is one thing as I learned. I don't chase after blessing. Blessing chases me because the master takes care of me. All my job is to do the will of the master. That's what my job is.
Amen.
And see, get a hold of that. See, we taught, you know, I understand, and it was correct. They taught us how to use faith to get things. But it wasn't to get things so God could just keep working for us. It's how we can learn to trust Him. He'll take care. If I serve Him and He don't take care of me, I'll tell you what I'll do. He's not a good Lord, so I ain't serving Him.
Amen.
Well, he's proved himself through too many years of being good, so I'm just going to keep on with this thing.
Amen. Praise God.
I don't chase money. Money chases me.
Yes,
amen.
Sir.
Hallelujah. I told Mom, when I'm putting things together, how much money we gave this year. It is amazing. I sit down and see, people don't keep track of that kind of stuff. I just look at the end of the year and gasp. I said, man, look what, oh my God. My words, how much we gave. Well, the whole thing of it is, we can do that. You know what? And we're blessed. Oh, I mean, God, all of our needs are supplied above.
Amen.
And you know what? We didn't chase money at all.
Amen.
But it chased us. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. See, the Lord told me, you know, as the Bible says, you know, with those who live by the gospel, that's what we're supposed to do. There's a preach the gospel we're supposed to live by. And so that's what I do. I just live. That's my job, is to focus on the end of the gospel, to preach and minister the gospel. That's my job, is to teach the word. That's what God's given me. That's my. Now see, some people, they want you to do, you know, open a soup kitchen. Ed, why don't you do that? Go ahead. God put that in your heart. You get with it. Don't come and ask Ed to do your will.
Mm-hmm.
You go do that. If that's God put it on your heart, I've had people at times come in, God put it on our heart to do this, and we ought to do that. And I say, if it's on your heart, then you get to go doing it. Don't come tell me about it. Mm-hmm. I'll cheer you on. You know, you want to go do the will of God. But quit trying to get somebody else to do the will of God. You do yours, let them do theirs. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. Everybody's called into different things, and the whole thing built together makes the whole thing work. You know, everybody, there's all different parts. You know, Paul wrote about it in 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter, about everybody, it's all different parts. Hallelujah. You know, my car has all different parts in the engine and everything. And all those parts put together make an engine that runs. You know, it ain't all pistons. Thank God. Why? We'd be sitting along the road going nowhere. This is why a lot of people sitting along the road going nowhere.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Well, hook up to it. Well, Jesus the Christ, or the Messiah. Hallelujah. He said, if indeed you have heard the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given to me for you, how that by revelation he made known to me the mystery, as I have briefly written to you, by which when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, or the Messiah. See, this distinctive person. It has to be this distinctive person. See, that's why we go out and what we preach. We need to preach. There's all kind of people out there think somebody. Jesus is the only Messiah of God. That's it. There is not another one. Other religions have them. We need to tell people. Jesus said, you know, that salvation, the word tells us salvation is no other name. We come along and Jesus Christ said himself that he was the only way to the Father. He said he was the only way. Well, is that true? Why? He's the Messiah. He's God's Messiah. And if anyone gets to God, it's through him. God will not accept anyone who will not accept Christ. Christ, the Messiah, is God's gift. Jesus, the Messiah, is God's gift. That's the one we have to take. Hallelujah. Well, all you folks, you took him. Hallelujah. So you did it. And that's what was required to come into this family. You have to recognize. See, we need to understand this, that when Paul wrote in Romans and said about confessing Jesus as Lord, you need to understand this. These men went out and they preached that Jesus was the Messiah. If he is Messiah, then he is Lord. He is the one you must yield to. When you say Lord, we need to understand, they understood kings in their days. The translators of the Bible, the ones about, you get King James, they understood Lord because that's how their country was. They had kings over them. And you had, he was the ultimate authority. And what he said went. They didn't have a vote. They didn't come around. They didn't have an election day. You see, this is why Americans don't understand this stuff. You need to understand, it is very hard for Americans. They come over and they get saved and they want to have a vote in the kingdom. They want to, well, God, you know, I'm going to do this and that. You go help me. No, you go find out what the king wants and you go do it.
Mm-hmm.
See, we do it. We keep asking God, you know what, I'd like to do this or I'd like to do it. What does he want to do? Well, I'm just going to ask him to help me. Well, you might get the devil help you for a while, you know, just over there, and he'll do anything he can to keep you off track.
Yes.
You find out what the king wants.
Amen.
What's King say in the book we need to do? There's things in there that specifically tell us things to do. I mean, we don't have to pray night or days about something. The King said, you know, here it is. And so we acknowledge Him as Lord. Why? He's the Messiah. He has the right to have lordship over you. You want to be in His kingdom, it's the way it's run. The Messiah runs the thing. He's Lord of all. Hallelujah. And He is so wonderful. He's called the King of Kings. Why is He called that? See, the King is a position of authority. In other words, when you come to God's kingdom, you immediately come into the kingdom in authority. You have rule and reign over the other spirit kingdom, Satan's kingdom, who is the opposing kingdom of God's. Mm-hmm. And you all enter the kingdom with authority over that kingdom.
Thank you.
And most people will live and die as a Christian and never understand that they have authority over Satan's kingdom. They're always asking God to do something about it. No, when you came into the kingdom, He made you a king in His kingdom.
Hallelujah.
He gave you a place of authority. See, and walk in that place of the Messiah. See, if you know Jesus, I mean, you know Him. He is the Messiah. This is who He is. He's the one God sent. Hallelujah. Came down here to deliver me and you. He said, well, to know, He said, the mystery of the Messiah, which in other ages was not made known to the sons of men, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to the holy apostles and prophets. He said, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of the promise in Christ, or in the Messiah, through the gospel, of which I became a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given to me by the effective working of His power. Hallelujah. This Messiah, His gospel, is a gospel that is open to the Gentiles. Hey, that was me. Hallelujah. And through that, you and I, there's no outcasts here. Hallelujah. Anybody. So the Gentiles, that opens the door to all nations. To all nations outside of Israel, the Gentile. The word Gentile is also many times translated correctly. It isn't actually Gentile. It's the heathen. See, that's you and I. We were heathens. We weren't under a covenant of God. Jews were under a covenant. We weren't at all. We weren't under a, but God made a covenant that even heathen Ed could come into. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Why? Because of the Messiah. If I accept the Messiah, Jesus, if I accept Him, I can come into the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. What a wonderful gospel. See, there are people that you're going to run into and minister to, and you know, basically their whole fact is they don't think they're good enough to be saved. They think they've done too many things wrong. They think those things. Man, introduce them to the Messiah. Introduce them to Him of what God did. Show them these things in Scripture. Hey, are you a heathen? Ah, you're the candidate. You're the one He's looking for. The one that ain't good enough. That's right, you ain't good enough to save yourself. But there's one who will save you.
Amen.
Hallelujah. The Messiah can. Hallelujah. And you can come in and come into His kingdom. This is the gospel. And so let people know. You can get out there and go so messed up. It's just like, if Christians themselves don't understand this, I find out this happens to Christians. They turn around, get messed up in life, get away from God, and they think they're done, they're finished. I know a guy, I mean, I really like him a lot, and he got over and got away from God, and he got so messed up, he just can't receive the fact that God would take him back. Well, God ain't ever thrown him out, but he lives like he's thrown out. You see, if he'd have got in on the foundation, see, there's missing things in foundation. When I came in the kingdom, I was taught foundation. I wasn't taught money first. I wasn't taught all this other stuff first, just how to get things. I learned things about who I was, what God did for me. And see, today, it's all about getting stuff out here. And it's not the foundation of who and what you are and what God's done for you. Yeah. And you know what happened? When I found all those things, I fell in love with it. It's like, oh my God, I want to serve Him. He ain't going to, well, it's hard to be a Christian. No, it isn't hard to be an idiot and not know nothing. That's what's hard. Christianity, if you understand it, is dynamic.
Amen. Amen.
No matter what goes on, I got a Savior, I have a Messiah. He loves me. He's looking after me. He wants to take care of me.
Amen.
No matter what goes on. And get yourself settled in that fact. Hallelujah. Just say, when you were an idiot, he took you in. Would you think he would throw you under the bus after you came in because you made a mistake? I mean, just think about it. How can we ever think like that? When I had never done nothing good, he received me. Caused me to be born again, blessed my life. And so if I miss it, he throws me out. I mean, that doesn't even make sense. If he was that touchy, why would he take me in? And he wasn't much of a God if he didn't know I was going to mess up down the line. He didn't know much. See, if you know him and his goodness, you know, you'll find this out. You mess up, and you know who you run to? The one you know likes you. That's who you run to.
Amen.
Amen.
This is why a lot of times Christians don't know how much. They talk about God loving them. They don't know if they mess up. And they wimp around and everything else instead of going to God. They feel ashamed and everything. Good. It might be good to feel ashamed about doing some sin. But if you take your shame and run to God, get it cleaned up.
Amen. Amen.
You go to the one that loves you. You don't run around telling people that God loves them and you ain't quite sure. I know he's forgiven. I've done more of that thing out, man. And I'm still using.
Amen.
Hallelujah. For the Lord is good, and his mercy endures forever. I want you to look at something, because why would Jesus hold off on telling people that he was a Messiah? If you look at one thing in John 6:15, there's a scripture in the Gospel of John, chapter 6 and verse 15. Says this about the people. So give you an idea about what can be revealed. And we didn't understand these truths because it deals with us too. What can God reveal to you? See, you can think wrong and do wrong about things, and it limits God in being able to give certain things to you. Listen, verse 15. Therefore, when Jesus perceived that they were about to come and take him by force to make him king, he departed again to the mountain by himself alone. See, people. See, why did that happen? Well, it was because of people's misconception of who the Messiah was. Jesus didn't come to be the king in the earth over any earthly kingdom. He didn't come to be a king of that. See, in the earth here today is Jesus king. Now, Jesus is king. He's been given authority over heaven and earth, but he only rules over what man will allow him to. Now, at the end of the what we call, you know, with the in the book of Revelation, we have the tribulation period. Jesus comes back, and then in the earth, he's going to rule and reign here. He's going to dominate over the whole earth. Then his kingdom comes here and established. Well, see, this is what Israel was looking for. This is what they saw the Messiah. That isn't what God needed to do. See, God needed to deal with Satan's kingdom. Nothing would have changed in this earth if Jesus came here to be a king. See, he had to get people to change kingdoms. Man was under the sway of Satan. He was the ruler of the god of this world. And so, we're here in this earth. God wants to get as many people in his kingdom. And he has a time period. See, Satan has a period to rule, because that rule period was the period given to men. Mm-hmm. And so, Satan got that. Well, when that thing ends, then everything is going to be set in order. That'll be set in order. And that Israel at that time, he's going to be king. And I'll tell you, to some Jews, it's going to be by force. He's going to come and have to force them. Some of the Jews. Now there'll be Jews who are going to be looking for the Messiah to come. And it's going to be, finally the Jews are going to be looking for him to actually show up and be king in the earth. And that will happen. But see, it wasn't supposed to happen. That's a long time period later. See, they're looking for that to happen right now. They were looking for it to happen then. That's not what's going to happen. And if you look at during the tribulation period, the things that goes on and the evil that takes place, and just think of the Antichrist. Why does all that go on? Well, when God takes the church out, the authority leaves the earth that God had given in the church, And who rules and reigns during that time? That's why it says it's going to be the worst time it ever was, and man, I've never known. That's why it's going to turn that way. See, we need to understand our position. The church is what holds things back. Do you realize the authority that we have? See, people today are in the church world, lots of times, they don't. If you don't understand your authority, you don't understand, well, you know, God's in control and He's it. You don't understand. This is why it allows Satan to reign and rule. This is why he gets to do so many different things. People don't understand their authority. When the church leaves, it gets real ugly. Real ugly, real quick. And the church age is a distinct age, which started at the with Jesus Christ and His ascension, and has turned around and will end when the church leaves. After that, the people who are saved are going to be saved by dying, most of them. Most of them are going to say because they refuse the Antichrist. Really, it's more of a saved by law. Because we know this is true. They ain't like the saints in heaven. It's like the Lord reminded me here, because I going over looking some things, and the Lord reminded me the other morning, I was laying there in bed, and the Lord reminded me, He said, the people who get saved, He said, during the tribulation, He said, what does the scripture say? That they're under the altar pleading for Him to do something about the devil down there. He said, the church ain't under the altar. Well, the church isn't under the altar. Who's under the altar? See, they're not the church. The church ain't under the altar. They're under the altar. They definitely not the church. See, the church, and concerning the church is in heaven, they're glorified. Glorified people ain't under the altar. And so, We need to get ourselves thinking, get our thoughts right about this stuff. So these people turned around and they had it. Now Jesus clarifies in John 18 about His kingdom and about who and what He was doing. And it's amazing because this revelation comes to a Gentile. Pilate. If we go to John in the 18th chapter in the Gospel of John, Jesus, we'll find here Pilate is talking to Him and Him responding to Pilate. In verse 33, it says this, then Pilate entered the praetorium again, called Jesus, and said to Him, are you the King of the Jews? Jesus answered him, are you speaking for yourself about this, or did others tell you this concerning me? Pilate answered, am I a Jew? Your own nation and the chiefs, priests, have delivered you to me. What have you done? Jesus answered, my kingdom is not of this world. See, you're in a kingdom that's not of this world. You have to learn how to operate in that kingdom that is not of this world. Why? It's a spiritual kingdom, unseen. It's an unseen kingdom. It's not of this world. See, get there. I am, he's telling who he is. Now, this kingdom is going to have a great effect in this earth. But we aren't of this earth. One of the things that we have, they used to use this term, I don't hear it much used today, is that they would say this, the body is the badge of authority in the earth. As long as you're in your body, you have authority, either over Satan as the kingdom of God, because you're in that kingdom. But see, in other words, while you're a human in this earth, you determine things that go on. You have authority. A sinner has authority because he's in this earth. He can turn around. Sinners can do things that cause demons to operate or do things. Or they can do things to stop. They can do things that would stop Satan from doing things. We need to understand this is the kingdom. As long as you're in, when you die, that's why when they put the body in the ground, you can't stay any longer. Your body is not you. Get that settled. You know, it's easy to get healed when you figure when you finally but really believe that with all your heart and don't doubt that your body's you. Until you get there, you're always going to have troubles in the areas of healing. We are always healing from God doesn't come from the body.
Amen.
It comes from the Spirit. See, get that into yourself. See, the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, He said, the Spirit, it makes alive your body. A Spirit makes your body alive, not the outside in. the inside out. See, you come to what's on the inside. See, you, the real you. See, when you die, you know, there was a, you know, the rich man died. It said he went to open his eyes in hell. Well, they buried his body, didn't they? But his body wasn't called him. It was his body. See, get a hold of this stuff. What God did, get it in yourself that these are the things that are true. See, it'll change everything about you. You won't, you know, it's one of the things, is I found this out. When I was a young Christian, I lost the fear of death.
Amen.
I'm not afraid to die.
Amen.
So many Christians are afraid to die. Well, if I do, the doctor said I should do this or do that. Oh, you know, go ahead, just keep it up. Keep it up. You know, why? People, I'm afraid I'm going to die. You know what? I'm afraid I'm going to live.
That's the best one of the day.
Do you think about that? You know, don't you? Let your inner man out sometime to where he has a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better.
Mm-hmm.
We live too much like we're of this world, and we're not. Let's live like we're of another world. And you know what? The things of this world. He used to sing that song, the things of this world grow vaguely dim in the light of the glory of Him. You know, well, people don't see no glory because the earth is shadow on the earth here. Just seems to cover most people's the glory of God. People are the shadow of their own body. Their body becomes the big thing. And don't let allow that. Don't allow that. You see, when you come to preach, you know, what's the devil going to throw at you? That's what he'll throw. He'll make you afraid that you're going to die. Well, I gave that up a long time ago. I told him he didn't have any say in that. He told me I was going to die, and I said, you don't have any say in this. This is between me and my God. See, there's a faith thing not between me and you. You is between me and him. You see, he couldn't make me afraid. Because see, if I die, I know exactly where I'm going. Because my body ain't dead.
Amen.
See, when you treat your body like it's really you. No, this is just the house you live in. Now, I want you to do this. Learn to keep this house moving and working good. Make it so it's decent to live in, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, do that. Mm-hmm. You want that. Why? Because the real you, has to operate through this. And what the devil wants? The devil don't want your body to operate good. So you have less when you can't go nowhere because your body keeps you in one spot because you're sick all the time.
Mm-hmm.
See, this is what happens. See, the reason, why do you want a good body? So I can just sit at the beach all the time? Hey, I like to go to the beach. I like to do them things. But most people, Americans, married Christians, they think vacation. Boy, this is it. No, you have a good body to serve God. This is why you can go. It's what the Lord spoke to me back many years ago. In fact, I was just a young Christian, and he talked to me about this, about, you know, serving him and doing him. And he said the number one thing he said I want for my people is to be healed. He said, because, he said, when they're not healed, he said, the devil steals their money and takes them. He said, all their money goes to taking care of their health and their, you know, so they're robbed of their money. And he said, number two, because their bodies don't work right, they can't go and do the things I want them to do.
Amen.
I mean, I've watched since that time, and it's gotten worse generally in the church. Mm-hmm. The church world has gotten worse. They haven't gotten better at this. Well, it's because the teaching has diminished. Most of the teaching, a lot of it is psychology and has a lot to do with just, you know, living a nice life. Well, you know, we can live a nice life, but I'm going to tell you, heaven's a great life. It ain't a nice life.
Amen.
It's a great life. It's fantastic. We ain't ever had one person ever went there and says, God, let me out of here. I want to go back to there. It was great back there. It was really good. Kenneth Hagin talked about different experiences he had with people who got caught up to heaven, and they were like in an accident and they died, and they went to heaven, and the Lord said, you can't stay, you're going to have to go back. Brother Hagin stood in for a guy that was dying one time, and He prayed about it, and he went. The Lord went to him, and he said, "The Lord," he said, "Lord," he said, "I need this man." He said, "In my church," he said, "he's such a big help in the ministry." He said, "And I need him." He said, "I don't have anybody helps me like he does." And he went on, "Lord, tell the Lord all these things about this man." And he said, "Lord, if I need him, you need him here." And this guy, you know, he had died, and he came back to life. He's laying in the hospital bed and come back to life. And the guy told him this. He said, "I got called up to heaven." And he said, I saw the city. And he said, "I just started running to it." And he said, it was like, he said, a curtain was pulled back. And Jesus said, you can't come yet. And he said, he stopped and said, "What do you mean I can't come yet?" He said, "Brother Hagin won't let you come." See, we don't know about authority. We know very little about authority. We don't know nothing. Now, you ain't gonna, if you ain't living and walking what Brother Hagin was, you ain't gonna go do that, just do that to people. So, you know, but grow it up. But see, we have to do things about grabbing hold of people. And that guy came back and he said, "My God," he said, "the last thing you ever want is coming back." He said, "That ain't what you want." He said, "When you get over there, you don't want to come back." He never said, "Well, I was glad I got to come back for my wife." He said, "I didn't want to come back."
Yeah.
And Brother Hagin said this, "When you go over there, you don't want to come back." There's things that I stepped over to Spirit many years ago, and I'll tell you what, I just had such a longing to leave here. You get a longing to leave here. You touch over there. See, it's, you know, a lot of people, I think a lot of Christians are afraid to touch over into there. You know?
Mm-hmm.
I'll tell you, you can touch over into that. And I'm going to tell you, it's real. And the Messiah is real. And His salvation is real.
Praise God.
And it's phenomenal. And it's like, my God. You know, you can, just even with the anointing. I mean, I have had the, just at home already, over the years, I've had times the anointing come on me. Not in a church, at home.
Mm-hmm.
And it comes over you. And I'm going to tell you, it's like leaving this earth and going to heaven. It is just so glorious. Mm-hmm. And you think, I don't want this to ever stop.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? It stops. And all you do is you want to get back to that.
Amen.
You just want to, my God. Well, you can't stay there all the time. You do. God may refresh you over there in it, but you come back here and you got to do things in the natural ministering and stuff. But you get over and you touch into those things. I've had that happen a few times. And you just get over in that and it's like, oh my God. It's just, and I just can't want you to be alive to live in heaven. What's that like? To be there and walk around in that place. What's that like? Well, it's because of the Messiah. See, the place is real. And this is one thing, see, we talk about, you know, one of the things of the devil's kingdom and what the devil does, is because of people experiences. We need to have experience with God, not just words in a book. We need to, the words need to become alive. When the Bible talks about the glory of God on us, we ought to have the glory on us sometime.
Amen.
We ought to step into the glory. I don't think Moses had the corner on the mountain. I can go to the mountain anytime I want to.
Amen.
See, we identify ourselves as earthly. The Old Testament, thank God for what they did, but you know what? They were unsaved. We're in the kingdom. See, you know, I wanted experiences with God. I wanted to actually run into Him. I wanted Him to run into me. And so, to get into, to walk into the light of that. Well, Jesus, He's a king, but it's not a kingdom of this world. Pilate, in verse 37 there, Pilate said to Him, therefore said to Him, "Are you a king then?" Jesus answered, "You say rightly that I'm a king. For this cause I was born, and for this cause I have come into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice." I want you to understand this. He says, here's His voice. Are you of the truth?
Amen. Praise God.
If you didn't know, you are. If you're born again, you're the truth. He said, everybody's of the truth hears His voice. He didn't say, everybody hears my words. He says, my voice.
Mm-hmm.
You got the Holy Ghost in you.
Amen.
He's the voice of God in you.
Hallelujah.
It isn't all the time it's some big loud voice, but inside you, He communes and he talks to you. And I'm going to tell you, whatever the Holy Ghost says to you, it's Jesus speaking to you.
Amen.
He takes what belongs to Jesus and reveals inside of you. You know, you get just inward witnesses about things. Mm-hmm. You know, I like it, like usually lots of times in the early morning hours and stuff, if I wake up, you know, sometimes 3, 4 o'clock, maybe 5, sometimes 5 in the morning, I'll just wake, but I lay there, and usually those times, because what times I'm, my body's not noisy, and there's not things going on, and I'm much more conscious of what's inside of me. Mm-hmm. And the Lord always does things, reveals stuff to me. Always, but see, one of the things I do, I always talk like he's there.
Amen.
I don't try to get God near me. How close can he get to me? Can he get any closer and moved in? I mean, is it possible? Is it? I mean, think about it.
Right.
See, how you approach and think, you speak to him, he responds to you.
Amen.
Treat him. See, I treat the Holy Ghost like... He's inside. He's giving. I never said, well, you know, see, God's hard to this. No, Holy Spirit, he teaches, guides me. He shows me anything that Jesus has. He'll reveal it to me.
Amen.
That's his job to do. If he don't do it, I'd go to Jesus and complain about him and say, you know, you gave me a slouch. He don't do what's right. Most of the church is running around talking like the one that lives in them is a slouch. Well, I don't know. I don't hear from God. I don't. What they're acting like Jesus Christ was a liar. If I can't hear from God, it isn't God's fault. It ain't the Holy Ghost. It's his fault.
Amen. Preach.
I'm not believing the truth. See, I learned to talk and live this truth. There's ways I will never talk.
Amen.
I don't care if I didn't hear from God for a year. I would never blame it on God. I'd say, well, what's wrong with it? Because God's speaking to me. He has to. I'm the Holy Ghost.
Mm-hmm.
I don't go to people and say, well, I don't hear nothing from God. You don't? Well, you must be dead spiritually then. You're the devil's kid? I hear his voice. Jesus said so. You know what? I talk like I hear his voice, and it is amazing how much I hear him.
Amen.
Why? See, it was response by faith. I don't say how I feel. I don't tell what happens, I think, naturally. I speak exactly what the Word says about him. That's what I talk to the Holy Spirit like that, and he responds. He responds to the Word. Why?
Amen.
Jesus is the Word.
Amen.
Talk like it's true. Say what the Bible says about you. Talk about God responds to me quickly. You know, Jesus talked about the unjust judge. And what is it, what he went on to, what did John say about the unjust judge? He said, about God, you know about God dealing with us? He'll respond to us quickly. She had to sit and keep whining and whining and whining to that judge to get him to do something. And, he, and John said, we don't have that. He said, he'll respond to you quickly. No, the church says, no, you just got to whine and keep praying. Most people ain't praying to God. They're whining to God for a long time. Trying to get him to do what they believe, aren't sure if he wants to do it all. And they're trying to say, well, if we just pray like, no, talk to him like he wants to do it. I say, oh, well, God, I'm just going to say, you're going to respond quickly to me. Hallelujah. The Bible says so. You couldn't lie about it.
Mm-hmm.
You're not a liar. You're going to respond to me quickly. You have to. Are your words a lie? Well, no, they're not a lie. And so get yourself over, respond to this. This Jesus, this kingdom, this Messiah. Hallelujah. See, these things are said. It's lots of times we see these things, but the great truth of these things that we're reading is not about at the time of the crucifixion. We ain't in the crucifixion time. This is the benefit we have on the other side. Can you identify yourself with his words? You're in the kingdom.
Yes.
You're in the play of the kingdom of truth. Hallelujah. You hear his voice. Say, praise God, I hear his voice.
Amen.
Glory to God. See, there's things that I will not say. I listen to other people say things. Things I will never say from my mouth. I'll never say them. I don't care what natural things look like or what they say. I'm only going to say what the Word says. If God said that and I got any sense about it, I have the revelation of the Word on it, then I need to speak what the Word says about it. What God will do. And I will tell you what, he is faithful. Hallelujah. You know, I don't care how merciful he is, but if he ain't faithful, you can't count much on the mercy. His faithfulness is incredible. God is a keeper of his word. Hallelujah. See, because of the Jews' preconceived ideas of what the Messiah would be, Jesus would have to avoid their perception of the Messiah's ministry. See, God came and had a purpose in him. He's out trying to preach to them his purpose, and they won't allow him to. They are trying to get from him what they want. Yet we know there were all, we know the disciples got a revelation, but also Simeon got a revelation, others got a revelation of who he was. A woman at the well, a Samaritan, believed what he said. Yet we have these ones. Why? Could it be hard to hear? Could it be hard to get a hold of? We're talking about people who weren't born again got the revelation. You are born again. Mm-hmm. See, this is why it's important of what you say and talk. You get the revelation of these things. God's alive in you. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You're in the kingdom. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
You're one with the saints. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Boy, I'll tell you, that was one of the things I bet that especially the Jews who wanted to follow the law, the fact that they were going out preaching to the Gentiles, that really had to get people upset. That really, you know, let the Gentiles in, those heathens, you know. You got in, you rotten scumbags, you know. Who are you? But see, this Messiah, God wants to reach the world, and people want to have a clan. They want to have their little groups. No, I'm going to say, God's made a kingdom.
Amen.
And in that kingdom, there's no kingdoms.
Amen.
There's no kingdoms in that kingdom. Aren't you glad? Hallelujah. I am so glad Jesus is the head. He's the smartest one of the bunch. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I need to be lorded over. I need it.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Lord.
I need a wonderful Lord like him. I need to have someone that I can trust and I can rely on, that I can look to. And God gave us the best. Hallelujah. The Jews, they wanted a political, military leader. Hallelujah. And they rejected God's great gift to them. Hallelujah. That would absolutely change their nation and the world. And it's a shame the nation didn't change, but the world around them, many accepted the gospel. Phenomenal. Phenomenal. Hallelujah. Well, Paul said this in 1 Corinthians 1:23. He said, "But we preach Christ, or the Messiah, crucified. To the Jews a stumbling block, and to the Greeks it's foolishness." So, we look at that. Jesus is either a stumbling block to you, or he's this crucified Messiah. See, it didn't make sense. It didn't make sense to me. Why? What God is doing, it's not about, see, everybody's looking on things in the natural. They can't see what God's doing. See, understand, when I got saved on a revelation of light came to me on there, got saved. For us in the kingdom, we want to understand, we're in the kingdom of light. We ought to see the glory of all this stuff. We ought to understand the glory of it. God, no one can get saved unless the light of this resurrected, crucified Christ comes to light to them. They have to see it. Well, God will turn on the light to it. This is one of the things that we have to know in ministering to people. If we're going to go to them, we need to understand. We're going, God will turn light on to people. Now, he'll turn light on it. Listen to what Paul said. Paul said the Jews, it was a stumbling block, and to the Gentiles, it's foolishness. Well, he knows. Loads of them thought it was foolish. The Jews thought it was all a stumbling block, but there were ones who accepted it. There's ones that received it. And Paul didn't say, you know, everybody's going to tell you. No, you just go walk around with the light on. You go around and talk the light. You go around and give the light.
Amen.
And there's some people, they're going to go to the light, and some of them, well, that sounds stupid. Yeah, that might sound stupid, but it's a glorious life. Hallelujah. It's the best thing you step into. And so, what do? We preach what the light said. We preach about, take the Messiah to the people. This is who he is. Jesus is the Messiah. He was the one that was sent by God to deliver and save man. And you can't come to God any other way. God will not accept anything else. Any other way. Hallelujah. Well, we'll stop there tonight. We're going to stop at that place. Hallelujah. See, the more you talk about it, we're talking about the life of Christ, but I'll tell you, it'll change your whole perspective when you look at his ministry in the earth if you see who he really is.
Mm-hmm.
That's what makes the whole difference in the world. See, he is the Messiah, and you settle that fact. You'll become the place where you're just unashamed to talk about him. That's who he is.
Amen.
Hallelujah. He's the one. See, it doesn't matter what other people say or what other people think. I don't care. He's my Savior. They can tell me I'm a fool. I'm going to tell you, I was a fool for 30 years. And there was a lot of fools like me. They were dumb as a stick. They didn't realize how stupid I was. You know? They didn't know. Hallelujah. And then there's one, you know, you get saved. You know, there's one thing, as I'll say, you know, after I got saved, there's one thing, you know, we had people I worked with and that stuff. There's ones that, you know, they thought I was crazy and stuff. But there's one thing. There's some that many found out around that worked around with me. They did turn around and liked the different it. They liked the different it. And, you know, even if that, I don't know how many affected got born again. You know, they, different ones, I'd share Christ with them and things, but how many of them got born again? Many times you share Christ with people and there, you know, that, but you just turn the light on whenever you can around them. But one thing I found out is being around the sinners. When I left Reese Candy Company to go to Bible school. I left there. And what really was remarkable to me was that the sinners, I never got a negative thing said to them. They said, you're going to leave and go to Bible school? And they thought that was the neatest thing, that I would leave the job I was in. You know, they said, man, you got a good paying job and everything, and you're just going to leave it. They thought that was the neatest thing I'd do that. I had more Christians come to me and say, well, now, are you sure God's telling you to do this? What about your family and, you know, your job and that stuff? And you're Christians. I never had one sinner. Every sinner said to me, I really just think it's neat you do this. I think... Christians are worried about, you know, well, you know, God's big, but can He take care of you and your family? My God, Ed. You got a wife and kids, you're going somewhere and you ain't got a job. See, I knew where their faith was. It was in H.B. Reese Candy Company, and they were lying to Jesus about to everybody. They said, Jesus is good. They didn't believe that. They thought Reese's was good. They had a job there, a good job. But a good. You can't go beyond this place. Now, I didn't go because I chose. I go it because He chose. I just obeyed what He told me to do. And He didn't give me a bunch of time to prepare. He didn't do that. It was January of that year of 87. He said to me in January, after I just bought the family back, which He told me to do, was to take them over Christmas and New Year's to take them down to Disney World. It's about 1987. And this is what He told me. See, Wanda and the kids came every year because I would always take off. I had a lot of seniority in my... And when I wanted to be, I could just start to take off when I, you know, first choice of vacation. You know, you get that because you've been around a little bit. Well, I would always take off Christmas and New Year's. I'd take 2 weeks off over that every Christmas and New Year's. So Wanda and the kids came and said they wanted to get down to Disney World. And I thought, oh man, you know, I thought, getting off work and running down to Florida, and I didn't know if I wasn't really into it doing it. So, you know, I didn't pray about it. They just came to me and said to me, am I doing this? And they, you know, I could tell they really wanted to go. So I was just one night just praying about minding my own business, praying about other stuff. You know, I was just over here praying about things I thought God would like. And just the Lord butted in and said to me, you need to take them down to Florida, to Disney World. He said, you're not going to get away like that for a while. Well, I didn't know what that meant. I didn't, you know, He didn't bother telling me what that meant. See, this is where the walk of faith goes. He just said that. Well, He knew enough about this. I thought, well, He told me to. So this is my response to His. I said, Lord, I'll take them any place you want to go. But I said, you're going to have to supply the money. So I see it good. See, number one, I'm a worker together with Him. He wants me to do something. See, when I worked for somebody, I worked for Reese's. I didn't pay them to work there. They paid me. See, God pays. And I said to the Lord, Lord, now, I'll take them down there, but I said, I ain't taking all my money to haul them down there. I said, you want me to take them down? I said, I'll take them. And I said, I said, this is what I want. After hotel and all that stuff, food, I said, now this is $87,000 was worth something then. You know, it's not like today, it's 25 cents. It's $1,000 went a long way then. And I said, I want to have $1,000 left over just to throw away money. You know, just to do whatever. After all, everything else is paid for. I said, that's what I want. And he did it. He went and did it. Now this is what we did. We just said, we just went and said, we're going down to Disney World. Well, we weren't going to blast anybody. This is what we're going to do. We're going down there. We said to somebody. And my brother had a motor home, and that year he hadn't used it. He came to me, and I don't even remember us specifically even telling him we were going to do it. He probably just heard from somebody. But he came to me and said, hey, my motor home needs ribbon. Do you want to take that down to Disney World? You can just take a motor home and go if you want to. You can have it. So we drove the motor home down, you know. God brought all the money in, and we had every what I asked for, we had. See, you need to get a hold. This is what people do all the time, is they're trying to serve God with all they have. Now, I serve God with grace is about serving with what he got. Mm-hmm. If it's what I have, it ain't grace. It's what he got. You see, I learned that there with anything, you know, I do. I go throw it to him, you know. God wants me, you know, if God wants me to go on a mission trip, he better get his wallet out.
Yes.
You know, it's not, okay, I've got to take all my money and I've got to come and do his work. He is so glad, why, that you put your faith out and trust him.
Amen.
The Lord told me, first mission trip on our Peru, the Lord told me I was going to go on this mission trip. He said, and don't you tell anybody about it. And I said, well, Lord, I said, I ain't taking the family's money. I said, we were in Ramah at the time. I said, I ain't taking the family's money. There's nothing. I will not neglect my family for God from that standpoint. I'm money of, they don't have things. If they don't have things, stuff going on, there's something wrong with Ed. Something wrong with Ed's faith. And I said, the Lord, I'll go any place you want to, but I said, you got to bring the money. I said, you bring the money in, I'll go anywhere you want me to go. You just tell me, you bring the money in. This is my faith. This is what he's going to have to do. I'm going to trust him. And you know what I did? I didn't pray about it a lick. Oh, people say, oh, you got to pray. I didn't pray about it a lick. I didn't tell me to go. Why would I pray and try to convince him to do something he told me that I was supposed to be doing to begin with? See, they went and handed all these letters to people and said, you send these letters out to people, make copies and send them out and tell them you're going on a mission trip, ask for money. He said, don't you take none of them. That's what he told me. I said, well, then you bring your money in. And he brought every nickel of it in for the trip. I never run around chased after anybody and did nothing. The whole thing about it, people came and gave, the people that gave the money didn't even know I was going on a mission trip. They hadn't heard nothing about it. They couldn't have heard anything about it. Ed didn't tell anybody. The only person who knows, Wanda, knows I was going to go on this mission trip. All I did is, this is what I did. I just act like I was going on a mission trip. And I'd say this to myself. I'd look in the mirror in the morning and said, you know what? If the money don't come in, I don't have to go. It's up to him. See, he likes that. Learn to know God. He likes boldness.
Amen.
That you trust him. Hallelujah. That's my faith in him.
Amen.
Because I was getting ready to go. Just learn to do that. You find it makes so much easier. Get to know what he's like. He likes boldness.
Amen.
He likes it. When people will stand up and say, you're going to do this or you're going to do that. That's what your word said. You'll do it.
Amen.
God will supply all your need. No, you'll supply all of God's need. Whatever he wants, you'll work hard to make sure that you can supply all of his need. You give and you turn around and give it all back to him and you don't get none so you can take care of him. That's the way it works.
That's right.
This is why Wanda and I are big givers.
Amen.
We don't lie about people say, well, God will outgive you. Well, I tell you, when are you going to act like it?
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Why? Because he'll take care of you.
Amen.
We give because we love to give. We're not trying to buy anybody, drive by anything. And I'm going to tell you, we're sold on him and he's sold on us. Amen. When we came into the kingdom, he was sold on us. We became his child. He made us that way. He didn't make you his child so you could be a slave to be beaten and chucked around and whatever. Hallelujah. We're slaves to a most wonderful Lord that there ever was. Hallelujah. I am a slave by choice. I'm the ones that the Bible talks about. They would take a guy would decide, a servant would decide he wanted to stay with his master. He might have to be there for a few years to pay off whatever debt he had. And he decides he wants to stay. He got a good master. And they take him to the doorpost. And they take a ewe and they pierce his ear. And they put an ear, that earring in. And that means he belongs to that guy. He decides, I'm the one wearing the earring. I belong to him. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. I want to stay. Why? Because he's so good. Yeah. I ain't staying because I'm so good.
Amen.
I'm staying because he's so good.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He's Lord and I love it.
Amen.
Glory to God. Hallelujah. Father, we just want to say thank you tonight. It is so wonderful, our Savior and Master to us. Father, I just want to thank you. Jesus is our Messiah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
He's the Messiah to the world. And what a loving Messiah who came. Hallelujah. And will respond to all humanity, all who call on His name. He is willing to save. Hallelujah. Thank you for taking us in. Thank you for opening up the Word and making it so glorious. Lord God, that we can see you in the light of the glory that you are. You're magnificent. Hallelujah. You're incredible. Lord God, who could we search out that would be like you? Who could we find anywhere? Lord God, we could search every place on this earth. We could go out to all the planets and the solar systems, and we could go out through all the galaxies. There is none like you, Lord God. Hallelujah. You're so wonderful. Hallelujah. You're the creator of all. Hallelujah. And Lord, you're our wonderful Father, and Jesus, you're our wonderful brother.
Yes.
Glory to God. What a family head. Thank you, Lord God, for all that you've done for us. But Lord God, I thank you even more for all that you have planned for our future to reveal your glory. And Lord God, the day will come when we step across the threshold into the fullness of the glory. What a day that's going to be. And we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.